Will the House come to order? Will the members please indicate their presence by voting? Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk take the roll?
14 members present.
There's not a quorum present to conduct business. Mr. Majority Leader, excuse from the call of the House. Okay. At this time, our chaplain for today is Reverend Larry Olson. Would the members please rise for the invocation?
Dear Lord and Creator of all, you have blessed Alaska beyond belief. We thank you for the wonderful human resources of this state, people whose clans and tribes have been here for centuries, and people of all nationalities who are newcomers. We thank you for the seemingly limitless natural resources of the land we call Alaska, the air, water, timber, minerals, fish, and wildlife. We thank you for them all. Who do they belong to? How should we use them? How should we exercise our stewardship over them? These are not simple questions for us to answer. We have leaders in both state and federal governments. We have leaders in executive, judicial, and legislative branches. Grant them all wisdom and insight, courage and vision, a sense of the past, present, and future in deciding these matters. In your name we ask these things. Amen.
The roll call board is open. Would the members arriving in the chambers please enter into the roll call there? Okay, we have a quorum to conduct business. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Already excused from the call of the House are Representative Choquette and Representative Cabina through plain time. I'd also ask unanimous consent that Representative Ivan be excused. He is ill.
Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, those people listed off by the Majority Leader excused from the call of the House, as well as Representative Ivan. Would the clerk at this time please certify the journal for the second legislative day?
I certify as to the correctness of the House journal for the second legislative day and the House and Senate joint journal supplement number 15.
Mr. Majority Leader.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the House Journal for the second legislative day plus the House-Senate Joint Journal Supplement number 15 be certified.
Are there any objections as to the correctness of the journal or supplement number 15? Hearing none, they stand approved. Guests for introduction today? Representative Ulmer.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I note that we have a very distinguished visitor with us today, a good friend of all of us, former Representative Betty Cato.
Representative Cato is a distinguished member of this body. Would you care to share with us a few words of encouragement or... We've done that badly so far, huh? Okay. Any further guests for introduction? Representative Mackey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do have some people I'd like to introduce today. I'd like to, first of all, introduce probably the most important person in my life, my mother, Marge Young, who's visiting in this gallery behind us. And also, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to introduce my staff. I do have two new members of my staff this year, Jill Griffin and Nancy Bennett, if they will stand, and also returning are Dave Gray and Vicki Irwin.
Any further guests for introduction? This brings us to messages from the governor. Did you guess for introduction? Messages from the governor.
Message dated January 15th. Dear Speaker Grusendorf, I wish to withdraw executive order number 80.
Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, the executive order 80 will be withdrawn and sent back to the governor. Representative Hudson?
Mr. Speaker, this might be a good time to ask that the prayer be spread upon the journal.
Are there any objections to having the prayer spread upon the journal? Now, some of you are handicapped here today because you didn't have the blessing over you today. Hearing no objection, the prayer spread upon the rolls. Go ahead. House stand at ease. Will the House come back to order? Before the at ease, we had just completed the communications from the governor withdrawing executive order number 80.
Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Yeah, just so the record is correct, that technically was a motion to allow him to withdraw, and I'd like the record to reflect I made the motion, so the record has somebody making it.
I heard no objections to that withdrawal, so I assume that it's unanimous by the members that are present. Okay. Messages from the Senate.
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Okay. Do we have any other communications to come before this body?
The following reports are a letter dated January 13 was received from the Alaska Interagency Task Force on the Homeless advising that the preliminary report required by Chapter 72 SLA 1991 will be delayed. The following reports are on file in the Speaker's office from the Alaska Court System, Annual Report 1991, Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, Annual Report 1991, Review and Report of Corporate Assets as of June 30, 1991, from the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority, Annual Report, Alaska Municipal League Policy Statement for 1992, the Alaska State Troopers Bureau of Drug Enforcement, Annual Report 1989-1990, from the Office of the Governor, Office of Management and Budget, Foster Care Review, from the Department of Community and Regional Affairs, Taxation of Natural Resources in Place, from the Department of Commerce and Economic Development, the Alaska Public Utilities Commission, 1991 Annual Report, from the Department of Education, Alaska 2000, from the Department of Public Safety, State versus Local Police Protection, from the Department of Natural Resources, reports on Admiralty Island, draft site-specific plan and report summary of the 1991 settlement agreement between Arctic Slope Regional Corporation and the State of Alaska. From the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities, a report on tomorrow's Alaska. The following report is on file in the Chief Clerk's office from the Department of Commerce and Economic Development, an annual report from the Division of Banking and Securities Corporations. I have no further communications, Mr. Speaker.
Do we have any reports of standing committees or special committees?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Okay. This brings us down to introduction of citations and resolutions.
Citation honoring ARCO Alaska Incorporated, sponsor of the Jesse Owens Games by Representative Martin. Citation honoring Bartlett High School track and field state champions by Representative Martin. Citation honoring Lieutenant General Thomas G. McInerney by Representative Lehman. Citation honoring Junior Achievement of Alaska by Representative Lehman. And citation honoring Roger Ridley by Representatives Lehman and Handley. And citation honoring the 1991 Alaska State Champions Bartlett High School football team by Representative Martin.
These citations will be referred to Rules Committee for calendaring.
I have no resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, and reference to House bills.
House Bill 399 by Representatives Baker, Larson, Choquette, B. Davis, Gonzalez, Gruenberg, Hudson, Jacko, Mackey, M. A. Miller, G. Phillips, R. Phillips, Taylor, Ulmer, and Zawacki, and Act relating to the establishment of port authorities by municipalities and providing for an effective date.
This will be referred to the Transportation Committee, Community and Regional Affairs, as well as Finance.
House Bill 400 by Representative Davidson, an act relating to loans for the establishment of commercial fisheries development endowments and providing for an effective date.
Labor and Commerce, Resources, Finance.
House Bill number 401 by Representative Davidson, an act making an appropriation for a loan to the Alaska Fisheries Development Foundation for a commercial fisheries development endowment and providing for an effective date.
Labor and Commerce, Resources, and Finance.
House Bill 402 by Representatives R. Phillips and M. A. Miller, and act naming the Glenn G. Briggs Bridge.
Transportation, Finance.
House Bill number 403 by the House Labor and Commerce Committee, an act relating to electrical worker safety.
That'll be referred to Labor and Commerce and the HES Committee.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
That brings us to the daily calendar. Would the clerk please read the first item on that calendar?
CS for Senate Bill 81, Finance, amended by the Senate Finance Committee, an act establishing the Department of Natural Resources as the platting authority in certain areas of the state relating to subdivisions and dedications and providing for an effective date. The Community and Regional Affairs Committee has considered the bill and recommends due pass. Signing due pass, Foster, Baker, Mackey, Gonzalez, and C. Davis. The Resources Committee considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with a House Committee Substitute Resources with the same title and due pass. Signing due pass, Ivan, Carney, Finkelstein, Davidson, Lincoln, and Hudson. The Finance Committee considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with a House CS Finance with the same title and due pass. Recommending due pass, McLean, Navarre, Boyer, Brown, Kopanen, and Larson. With no recommendation, Jacko, Barnes, Sharp, R. Phillips, and Ulmer. I have two committee substitutes on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Having committee substitutes, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that we adopt the House Finance CS for Senate Bill 81.
Are there any objections as to the adoption of the House Committee Substitute Finance? Hearing no objections, CS Finance has been adopted. It's before us in second reading and available for amendments. Clerk, have any amendments? Having no amendments.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Boyer.
There is a technical problem with the effective date, and I would move for the deletion of Section 9 of the bill, and that would provide for a 90-day effective date, and I ask unanimous consent.
The clerk does not have that in writing. Would you basically come up here and do something for us with the House standing at ease? Will the House come back to order? Before the at ease were in second reading, there was an amendment number 1 that was submitted by Representative Boyer, which basically deleted Section 9. So the amendment is to delete Section 9. Is there any debate? Any objections? Hearing no objections, amendment number 1 has been adopted. Bill is still in second reading. Any further amendments? Having no further amendments, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the House Finance CS for Senate Bill 81, amended House, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading.
Are there any objection as to the motion to advance to third reading? Hearing no objection, will the clerk read the title of that bill third time?
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 81, Finance, amended House. An act establishing the Department of Natural Resources as the platting authority in certain areas of the state relating to subdivisions and dedications and providing for an effective date.
Third reading, under debate. Mr. Majority Leader.
Just a technical question to the clerk. I assume that that amendment deleting Section 9 also entailed a title amendment, and that will be corrected. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Leader. Any debate? Representative Hanley.
Actually, I just had I'd like a brief clarification on the amendment. I just was looking at it as we're going through it. I was curious why last year they wanted it to take effect September 1st, and this year we're going to do it 90 days when it passes. And I just wonder if that was to give the Department of Natural Resources time to gear up or something, if it should be just changed to 92, or I'd just like a brief explanation of that part of it.
Representative Boyer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The effective date clause was, in fact, to give the Department of Natural Resources a time to gear up. Given the fact that the bill would have passed effectively with the new fiscal year, the September date effectively gave them the time that by stripping the effective date clause would give them, which is about a 90-day period of time. So I think that, and in fact, I asked the staff to the former senator whether or not that issue gave them enough time by stripping that, and the information was that the department would have the time to gear up and get ready for that with the elimination of the effective date.
Representative Hanley, does that satisfy you? Okay. Any further debate? Representative Navarre? Would the House stand at ease? Will the House come back to order? The bill is before us in third reading. Mr. Majority Leader.
Yes, I thank my friend, the Finance Chair. I stand corrected on my suggestion on the title amendment. Section 8 contains an effective date clause for Section 6, certain of the statutes in Section 6. So we still need to have the effective date clause in the title.
Okay. The clerk will follow the amendment that was adopted and adjust it. Third reading under debate, Mr. Minority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Maybe someone can clarify this for me. I did not have a chance yesterday to review this. I am concerned. It would seem that if, in fact, we implement this, that the State Division of Natural Resources would now become the platting authority for all lands in the unorganized borough, which means all lands throughout the state. Today, if you are outside of an unorganized borough, you do not have to submit a plan or subdivision to anyone for their approval. You can subdivide your land and then merely record that subdivision and begin issuing deeds off of that subdivision. I'm not certain, because as I said, I've just become aware of it, that whether or not the DNR already has drafted, and maybe somebody here could inform me of this if they have, regulations as an example on lot size. In other words, are we through this device going to lock ourselves into situations that are currently encumbering land use in the states of Washington, Oregon, California, where they decided, oh, this area should stay agricultural, so now you cannot subdivide below 5 acres. And in fact, many areas you can only subdivide down to 10 or 15. I mean, I'm hoping that that's not the case. Right now, Alaskans have the freedom, if they own land outside an unorganized borough, a guy has 20 acres and 4 kids, he can divide it up four ways. He does so by filing a plat, issuing deeds, and he doesn't have to have any bureaucrat's approval anyplace. And he doesn't, if he wants to build a cabin on it, he doesn't have to build it according to some code passed by some city someplace. I'm very concerned that what we're doing here is what may be a nice idea, that we ought to have some place that reviews all plats and subdivisions in the state. But you know, we've got by rather nicely without this, and I don't know that there's a problem that needs to be fixed out there. Maybe my concerns aren't justified, and if they aren't, I'd certainly withdraw them. I would just hope if someone is more familiar with this legislation, they could explain that to us. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Boyer, are you that person?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I hope so. First of all, to answer, I think, the first concern, which is whether or not the Department of Natural Resources has any regulations which predetermine lot sizes and those types of things. The answer to that question is no. But more importantly, to get to the issue or the problem here that we're, is trying to be addressed by the legislation, is that currently there are no requirements that, as the former speaker, previous speaker said, there are no requirements to meet kind of standard mapping and monumentation requirements before you take your issue before the recorder. What that has caused in many, many areas with major landholders, landowners, not the least of which are our native corporations, regional native profit corporations, has meant an overlapping sometimes of imperfect boundaries and lines and those types of things which confuse land ownership questions. And what this bill attempts to do is set in motion a standardization of mapping and monumentation for recording purposes so that clear title will be just that. It will be clear title and there will not be any problems with that title in those areas exclusively of municipalities which have planning and zoning powers and ordinances in place to cover that. So it's in effect an attempt to streamline a process which has caused trouble in the unorganized borough for many, many landowners. And supported universally in all the committees previously. It's had due passes, unanimous due passes in all the previous committees and in the other body, and I think it shares wide range support.
Representative Martin.
Okay, good. Mr. Speaker, I agree with the bill and its intent. One expression I have a concern is has come to me from the University of Fairbanks, and that is the situation that is happening in DNR. And I agree that we must need to give them planning authorities and things of that nature, because that's where all the professional, the certified people are supposed to be. However, what's happened in the last year, according to the university chief and others in the survey and profession, is that DNR has significantly reduced all professional surveyors. There's only one left in that whole department. And he's the chief, and I understand he's going to be axed too because they need more room for planners. And it's nice to have planners, but when you get rid of the people who actually are professionals who do the actual surveying with modern techniques, and we train them in our university, and we don't allow them to have opportunity to do what we want to map properly the state of Alaska, then what have we gained by giving them authority that they can't implement? So I'm going to express it very strongly that I hope those who are looking at the DNR budget to make sure that we have surveyors there, certified professional surveyors that come from our own university and can implement this bill.
Representative McLean.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to express the same concerns that the representative from Wrangell expressed. The question that I have would be, where would the local involvement be when you're going through the platting process?
Any further debate? Representative Boyer.
Well, the local process, to answer the question, Mr. Speaker, is that there is no local. We're talking about the unorganized areas of the state where there is no organized government, where there are no mechanisms in place for the discussion to even take place. It is to take care of that problem. It, in fact, provides the opportunity for some discussion to occur. Currently, as the member from Wrangell pointed out, there are no requirements, there is no opportunity, there is no forum for that kind of questions that may take place. And also further, the bill specifically prohibits the Department of Natural Resources from promulgating any rules or regulations that would set standards, engineering standards, which I think more appropriately get to the member from Wrangell's concerns, specific engineering standards for subdivisions. I should have mentioned that more clearly.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I can't help but stand and say that if House Bill 1 was to pass, we wouldn't have had that last question, because as we know, in a organized borough, they have three powers: education, taxation, and planning and zoning. So if House Bill 1 was to pass, planning and zoning would be done on the local level.
Mr. Majority Leader, would the House stand at ease? Will the House come back to order? before the IDs, we had the bill before us in third reading and under debate. Representative Gruenberg, and then...
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a colloquy with the bill manager. I'd like the members to refer to section 40.15.370, page 5, lines 4 to 5, and contrast the language there with the language with section 40.15.330 on page 4, lines 21 to 22. The first section, section 370, says the commissioner may, that's discretionary, adopt regulations to implement, clarify, or make specific the provisions of 40.15.300-.380. However, the one section, section .330 on page 4, lines 21 to 22, is not discretionary but mandatory. The commissioner shall establish plat standards by regulation. So, in essence, he has no discretion but to promulgate standards by regulation for platting. Am I correct?
Representative Boyer.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. For the record, yes, that is correct. Apparently, in the discussion of the issue, there were two things that were clearly directed of the commissioner, and one was to establish the plat standards by regulation, and also that the commissioner may not establish engineering standards for subdivisions. Those two things were clearly delineated as a part and separate from the general regulation authority, and that was a permissive authority.
Representative Mary Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I am more familiar with the platting process in the organized boroughs, and I haven't been able to study this bill as closely as I would like, so I do have a question in regard to the process for the public to have notice of actions of this authority and public input. That's my question to the sponsor of the bill. Or others who could comment.
Representative Donnelly.
Just a point of personal privilege, Mr. Speaker. I couldn't find colloquy in my dictionary.
We'll make something up here. Any further debate? Representative Hudson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. One of the questions that came up was whether or not there would be adequate manpower to make this all work. And if you'll notice that there is a fiscal note that was prepared with this last year that essentially would provide for a professional land surveyor and one clerk typist that would be specifically and probably attached solely for this purpose. So even though I don't know if that's adequate or not, but at least that was considered. And other technical changes, and it did have the approval of the department, so I thought people should know that.
Is there any further debate upon this that anybody who has not spoken upon this that would care to at this time? Representative Taylor?
Well, I did notice page 4, running on over to page 5, where it talks about this law shall not apply to maps prepared for the purpose of transferring a leasehold, extraction of natural resources, or solely for the issuance of licenses or permits. And then it goes, or, and this is the interesting one, paragraph 2, disposing of land by aliquot part descriptions of 40 acres or more within surveyed sectors. This is already set a size limitation. If you're going to dispose of land in chunks greater than 40 acres, you don't need to comply. Isn't that convenient? For those people who own 40 acres or less, they all have to comply, and what we're really doing is setting up Department of Natural Resources as the planning and zoning board for the whole state. Maybe you have, the people in this room, have not encountered difficulties with local planning and zoning boards. I know of one state right now where it takes, on average, 7.5 months to get through planning and zoning alone to get a building permit. The legislature in California had to pass emergency legislation so that homes could be rebuilt that were burnt out in Oakland, California, because it was taking a year and a half to get a building permit through their planning and zoning boards. I believe that the intent of this was to make certain that we don't end up with overlapping surveys and that we don't end up with improper subdivisions going on, and I certainly believe very much in that intent and would hope that that would be the only thing accomplished here. But instead, I believe this thing is a blank check for the Department of Natural Resources and whoever, whatever administration controls it, to set up a planning and zoning board that for every person who currently owns land and would like to subdivide it out there in the unorganized borough, you're going to have to run to Juneau or to Anchorage with your little plat and make sure it's done by a surveyor. And there's one little kicker, I think, that isn't mentioned here also. If you are within an area where a plat or subdivision must be filed and approved by someone, which is currently just boroughs and municipalities, and you try to sell a piece of land out of a larger chunk without going through the subdivision, that is a criminal offense in the state of Alaska, punishable by a Class A misdemeanor of up to $5,000 and 1 year in jail. And I don't know that I'm very excited about imposing that kind of stuff on all of the people who happen to own land in this state, old mining claims, homesteads, the rest of it, outside of organized boroughs, and tell them, well, you know, you want to divide it up and give it to your grandkids? No, you just ran into the full-time surveyor's employment bill. Spend $10,000-$20,000 to have them come out and brush your lines, run a survey, draw up a plat. Then you got to send it to these people. And by the way, currently they tell us it'll take X number of months to get through there. That's what you're looking at, I think. And I don't want personally to impose that. I'd rather put up with some sloppy surveying and let the folks out there win, and if they have a problem, that's the time to spend the surveyors and get them in there and the lawyers and the rest of them, clean the problem up. But if it ain't real broke, I don't think we should fix it, and that's the kind of thing I would think that you would allow the people in the unorganized boroughs the opportunity to at least vote on, because you see, if you go into a borough, you get the right to vote on whether or not you're going to give them planning and zoning authority. So at this point, I'd have to be...
Representative Kopanen.
Well, thank you. The problem is that a piece of land may or may not exist that's described on any particular document. A bank will not lend money on a deed that does not adequately describe a known parcel of land that is laid out by a registered land surveyor. Registered land surveyor in that instance, actually, even though he's a private businessman, is also an agent of the state, because he puts in the markers and boundaries that permit you to find where that piece of property is. A sale of a piece of paper, ostensibly a deed that actually cannot be traced to a piece of land, is a great opening for fraud. It's had it in many states. The great Florida land sales of the 20s were a great case in point. Some cases people could find the land. It may have been under 6 or 8 feet of water, but they could find. In other cases, there was nothing that could be traced but a nice piece of paper that they got. Similarly, in the last 20 years, there have been land sales to people outside of Arizona, California, New Mexico, which eventually had the U.S. Department of Justice going after the land sales, you know, promising vacation homes, which in many cases turned out either to be pieces of desert or to be the same parcel that was claimed by about 40 other people who had bought a Xerox copy of the same piece of paper. So I think is reason to be able to tie a piece of land to the ostensible document called the deed. Thank you.
Any further debate? Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 81, Finance, amended House, pass the House. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
29 yeas, 9 nays.
House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 81, Finance, amended House, has passed the House. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on final passage be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, the effective date clause has been adopted. Representative McLean.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to serve reconsideration of my vote on Committee Substitute Senate Bill 81.
Okay. Notice of reconsideration has been given on said bill. Have some citations, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We have 7 citations on the calendar. I move and ask unanimous consent they be approved. Citation honoring Janice L. Hansen, honoring Tundra Times newspaper, in memoriam Father Robert Bialasek, in memoriam Elmo Sackett, in memoriam Kenneth Simpson, in memoriam Melvin Olana, in memoriam Thomas Brown.
Are there any objections as to the citations on today's calendar? Hearing none, citations have been approved. This brings us to Representative Gail Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, could we please revert to introduction of guests?
Are there any objections? Hearing none, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It gives me great pleasure in Gallery A behind me to introduce my senior staff person, Judy Jordan, and also to introduce a friend, Anton Chaplin, with Unocalon Soldotna.
We're under introduction of guests. Are there any further guests for introduction? This drops us then down to unfinished business. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to bring up my reconsideration of House Bill 266, and there's an amendment that's been distributed.
Would the clerk put it on the board and then give the reading of that title?
House Bill 266 by Representative Navarre, an act including service in the Bureau of Indian Affairs Contract School as BIA service in the teacher's retirement system. I have amendment number 1 by Representative Gruenberg.
Okay, the bill is before us in third reading. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent. We return to second reading for the purpose of a specific amendment, amendment number 1.
Are there any objections to moving back to second reading for an amendment? Hearing no objections, we're in second reading. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I will move the amendment, but let me explain the purpose of the amendment, if I... The material that was given out with the bill shows a colloquy, again, that's a discussion, between myself and Dave Stout, who was the director of the division at the time. This particular bill was designed to cure a problem in a bill that I introduced back in the 14th legislature. There are some people who technically were not in schools that were, quote, operated, unquote, by the BIA. These were people who were in certain schools that were, quote, contracted, unquote, by the BIA. And therefore, the Division of Retirement and Benefits felt that they needed legislative correction. The way the bill was drafted, though, only covered certain, quote, contracted employees, those who were in schools that were contracted during the period after the school was operated by the BIA and before the school was operated by a school district. It's conceivable there would be other contracted employees who technically wouldn't fall in this category. I'm informed there may be a half a dozen. Nobody really knows for sure, very few. But I don't want to see the legislature have to revisit this for a third time. There is no objection to this from the Division of Retirement and Benefits. The sponsor of the bill is a co-sponsor of the amendment. I'm not aware of any opposition, and I'd ask that the amendment be approved.
Okay, the chair will take it that the motion has been made to adopt amendment number 1. Representative Navarre.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We have done a little research to try to figure out whether or not there are any more
schools than the three schools that I alluded to yesterday, and we have not found any information that there were more than those three schools. The BIA stopped contracting in 1984, so we won't see any more popping up. And I just want to thank the majority leader, because the language actually deletes maybe some unnecessary language from the statutes, and all the language that he's put in during his tenure in the legislature. It's a pleasure to see him deleting some.
Are there any objections to amendment number one? Any objections to amendment number one? Hearing no objections, amendment number one has been adopted, and the bill is back before us in third reading and under debate. Is there any debate? Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall House Bill 266 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk lock? Representative McLean? Would the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
38 yeas, 0 nay.
House Bill 266 amended has passed the House in reconsideration. Mr. Majority Leader?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We have a number of requests for excused absence, and I'm going to move and ask unanimous consent that the members be excused. But before I do so, with the leave of the presiding officer and the body, it would be of great help to my staff if members could get their requests for excused absence in by the close of business the previous day. We were still getting requests on the floor today, and those that came in this morning will take up tomorrow, will be meeting tomorrow. And so don't think that you're not going to get excused, but please get them in the day before so my staff doesn't go bananas. The first request for excused absence is a correction for Representative Betty Davis from 6:35 p.m. April 16 to plain time April 21. Several requests for Representative Finkelstein, 5 p.m. January 17 to plain time January 21, 5 p.m. January 14 to plain time January 18, 5 p.m. April 16 to plain time April 21. Representative Ivan from 10 a.m. January 15 to plain time January 20, and I understand he is ill also. Representative Zawacki from 10 a.m. April 23 to plain time April 26. Representative Parnell, 5 p.m. April 15 to plain time April 19. Representative Mike Miller, 6:30 p.m. January 17 to plain time January 21. Representative Jacko, 7:25 a.m. January 31 to plain time February 2. Several requests for Representative Lincoln, 6:45 a.m. February 3 to plain time February 5. And again, 5 p.m. March 17 to plain time March 21. Five requests for Representative Randy Phillips, 3:30 p.m. January 17 to plain time January 19, 5:30 p.m. February 7 to plain time February 10, 5:30 p.m. February 28 to plain time March 2, 5:30 p.m. March 20 to plain time March 23, and 5:30 p.m. April 10 to plain time April 13. I move and ask unanimous consent those representatives be excused from the call of the House.
The super savers are not causing problems with running the business of the House, is it, at this point?
No, Mr. Speaker, one thing that sort of under announcements, I understand that Alaska Airlines have extended that offer for another month, so we'll you have to get your tickets today.
Hearing no objections, The members that have been listed off by the majority leader are excused for the call of the House on those dates specified. We are still under unfinished business. Any further unfinished business? Announcements of standing committees or special committees? General announcements? Mr. Majority Leader?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The APOC reports are due today. And also, the members should be aware that we have a joint session tomorrow evening with the Senate, that the governor's budget address will be at 8, and will be a meeting starting at 7:45 for the evening session.
Representative Finkelstein.
Thank you, Speaker. There's a memo in everyone's boxes today on ethics requirements. If anyone has any questions, just please let me know.
Any further announcements? Special orders? Representative Gail Phillips.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. At this time, I would just like to express my appreciation to the City of Juneau and to the business community for the fine welcoming reception they put on for us last night. I thought it was a very good event, and I appreciate very much the effort on behalf of the residents of Juneau to welcome us back.
Representative Hutchins, special orders.
Yes, since my colleague invited everybody, I'd like to take the credit for it, but I can't do that. We're always pleased to have you back.
Any further special orders? Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to ask unanimous consent. We stand adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow.
10 a.m. tomorrow.